And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us on a smoky Thursday afternoon if you're here in the French Broad River Valley. There have been a lot of people calling in smoke investigation calls to the 911. And, I mean, if you see flames, obviously, if it doesn't look like it's attended, but there are several control burns in the area that are people are burning things, and they're legal. And then there's a big control burn in South Carolina, and the wind has shifted and put all of the smoke right here in Transylvania County. So we've got, again, a couple of control burns, and then we also have this big control burn. I mean, when I say a control burn, I'm talking about somebody's burning brush or whatever on their own private property. Then apparently there's a government burn in South Carolina, either state or federal, don't know. But that's what they're telling us. And so, yes, you're going to see smoke out the window. And, yes, you're going to smell smoke out the window. And, yes, it is an odd day, in a way, to burn. But on the other hand, believe it or not, when it's like this, the humidity is very, very low. And when the humidity is very, very low, of course, fire spreads quickly. Well, as the fire spreads quickly, the faster it runs through, if you're going to do a prescribed burn, the faster it'll run through the forest floor, the less damage it'll do to the big trees. It'll kill out a lot of the underbrush and stuff, but it won't bother the big trees. So anyway, 20% humidity is what they're showing right now at Asheville. 19% humidity at Greer, and that's unusual for us, very unusual. We just don't see, anything below about 25. That's just unusual for us. Of course, it's going to change tomorrow as rain moves in. But anyway, that's what's going on, and there have been a lot of calls about it, a lot of folks calling, and a lot of folks asking questions. Also, before we get into everything else, let me just mention it was our honor today to host the service for Ralph McCall, and it was well attended, and we were glad here at the church to host that. He was retired military captain of the United States Army, also retired DuPont engineer, mechanical engineer at DuPont. And it was our honor again today to host that service. And then the burial was at Old Toxaway. And as always, we appreciate the Transylvania County Sheriff's Department helping with escorting the funeral. We appreciate that. As well as, of course, all the folks who attended. And, the McCalls, they were... part of our internet audience and watched faithfully and a part of the services ever since COVID. And so we, again, honored, and certainly our prayers go out to the McCall family and all the connections. And, of course, his wife, Sylvia, was a queen, and so it was Keith Queen's sister there out of Rosamond Tabernacle. So they're doing the meal there at Rosamond this afternoon. Beryl was at Old Toxaway. And again, our heartfelt condolences to the family today, the Ralph McCall family. All right, let's look at some traffic for you if we can. By the way, Ralph listened every day. He listened to this every day. And watched and listened to the radio all the time. And so, he'll be missed in that. Let's take and look at our traffic right quick. We are backing up this afternoon. The slowdown is now back past the Welcome Center. Oh, no, not the Welcome Center. What's that called? The rest area. Okay, the I-26 rest area, just this side of the airport. Yeah, it's back to there under Fanning Bridge. So the slowdown, you get on your brakes there at the rest area, Hunter Subaru, and it is going to be slow and slower right up around 280 and then back to slow. And that's going to continue like that, all the way to the parkway. Coming the other direction, we have just the reverse. It is, it starts getting moderate traffic across the river coming east, and then it goes to slow in the divided area, and then it's going to be fine once you get under the parkway. I don't know what's going on right there, but that seems to be the knot in the rope, the clog in the drain, whatever you want to call it. That seems to be the place right there, just the other side of the Blue Ridge Parkway Bridge. That's where both lanes are slow to. And so don't know if there has been a wreck. There's not one now, at least that's indicated, okay? So having this slow traffic coming out of Asheville has put a lot of pressure this afternoon on 191. 191's not a good choice. 191 right now is backed up from the light at 146, 191, all the way back almost, well, I won't say almost, it is. It's all the way back to, well, it's past the Borg Warner. It's past that. It is almost all the way back to Clayton Road. That's how far back it's backed up. That's trying to come south. And then if you're in Sandy Bottom, you're between moderate and slow intermittently till you get down to Clayton Road. You also have going the other direction, and I, again, don't know why, but I guess that light there at the Arboretum, and it's got things slowed that direction, okay? Not sure why. Also, if you're at the light, waiting for the light there at 146, 191, you're probably, if you're on 146, you're probably 5 or 6 light changes to get in, to get through, at least. And if you're coming the other direction, going north on 191, probably about the same. Yeah, you're probably that far. It is backed up, almost back to Fieldcrest there. And it's backed up this afternoon. 191 is not a good choice. Let's look at the other options. If we were to take 25, if you're heading north, you'd be good. It's south that's slow. So anytime the interstate gets like this, you can see it on these secondaries, and I'm seeing it. We're backed up past the parkway this afternoon, going south to Mills Gap on 25A, and the same thing's true, past the parkway on 25, heading south. It will moderate, 25 will moderate before 25A does. Yeah, it'll moderate once you get under the parkway and on down through there. It'll moderate a little bit. All right, there's some traffic on Sardis Road 112, and I'm trying to figure out why that is busier than usual. I don't see a reason. But, boy, we just got red ink all over the map here. Gracious day. What all that's about? Well, if on I-40, between 25A, which is Sweeten Creek, and Biltmore exit, and about a mile past the Biltmore exit, we're in the slow, extra slow category, very slow category. Not sure why, but we are. And, of course, it's slow back on the ramp. You can't get in, so it's up. The ramp is slow. It's actually got traffic pushed all the way back down into Biltmore Village. And, again, there's no indication of what that is, but it's on the westbound side that you'll find it. We also have problems going into Asheville. It begins around Amboy Road, up past Haywood Road, and up onto the bridge. It's in the slow category. I don't know what's going on on the section of 26 that starts there at the bridge and goes on toward Tennessee. Both sides are slow. Slow. Yeah. And there's no indication as why. And it's slow almost. Well, it's slow past the UNCA exit, and it moderates once you get up around Woodfin. And then coming the other direction, it's right there at the Botanical Gardens, and it's slow all the way down to the where you get into the cloverleaf to get on the bridge. Yeah, I don't know what's going on today. It's just it's a Thursday, and I don't know. And if that's not bad enough news, if you're traveling, if you're going westbound I-40, you have got major problems. The famous zipper merge just past Maggie Valley. It has got two lanes of traffic almost at a complete stop all the way back to 209 today. So add at least 30 minutes to your travel time, at least 30 minutes. From 2:09, you will wait at least 30 minutes in line to get up there, because you have to stop, and then you don't have to stop, but they do stop. And once it gets stopped, then everybody has to stop. So all it takes is one car to stop. If people would merge and keep moving, but they don't. They stop as if it's a stop sign. And then they sit there and wait for the other guy to go. And then the one guy says, no, you go. And the other guy goes, no, you go. And then it goes, no, you go ahead and go. And by that time, you can imagine what that does if everybody does that. And then occasionally somebody will try to go at the same time somebody else is going, and they'll have a big crash. And now you got that to clean up, and it'll back up even further. I've seen it almost back to the 74 split. I've seen it that bad. I come in one night from Kentucky, and I was coming the other direction, and it was back all the way down that big straightaway, right there where 74 pulls off of 40. It was all the way back to there. Yeah, rainy and bad and night and dark, and boy, you talk about tempers. Oof. Glad I didn't have a CB turned on, because you just wouldn't want to heard what they had to say about that whole thing. Well, I thought Asheville was bad today, and it is. But Greenville is just as bad. We are all but stopped on I-85. This time it's all the way back at 101, south past 14, south past Pelham, and it will moderate if it's going. Well, I don't think they're moving at all, just to be fair with you. Looks like to me it's stopped on the southbound side. On the northbound side, it's right there in that same place, so it could very well be a bad accident. So right there, right before we get to Pelham is where it starts. It backs up under 385, down past 276, all the way back down to 291. And again, I think the northbound is moving. I see some like traffic is getting started back and taking off on the northbound side. I don't see that on the southbound. It looks like to me the southbound is completely stopped. Again, no indication as to what it is at this point, other than, of course, we know it's construction there, but they're not telling me anything. I don't know if it's just happened or if it's previous, but it's not good. There's a crash on 146 west between 385 and 14. Crash right there. That one I can tell you about. Coming down out of Greenville, what is that coming out of there? 29 through town coming down. Mills Avenue, that's all very busy this afternoon. We're actually going up into town. It's just about stopped and not sure what that's about. I'm looking around for other wrecks in the upstate. Don't see a whole lot, but I am curious what's going on 85, because it is not good at all this afternoon. All right, so what else? What are the good news do we have? Okay, let's see. Let's look at some good temperatures. We do talk about that. 63 degrees at Asheville at 6 minutes before 5. And there was a south-southwest wind, but notice that the south-southwest, it's a warm wind. It's about 14 mile an hour, gusting to 20. It is still, you know, blustery. But that south-southwest, you would think that it would be moving the air and we wouldn't be getting smoke out of Greenville, you would think. But that does not seem to be the case, because, I mean, I'm looking out the window at the smoke. It is coming in here. Let's see what they got in Greer. Okay, theirs is southwest at 14, gusting to 21. So, meaning it would be coming up out of North Georgia. If it's coming out of the southwest, it would come out of North Georgia. Don't know, but I can tell you this. It's pretty smoky out there. 58 is what we're showing here at the studio. And we are looking at continues some wind, gust up to 21 for the rest of the day. And then I was trying to see what our humidity here is. We're at 31%. I don't know if our gauge, it just reads higher than everybody else's. I don't know about that. 27, well, that's not right. They're saying 27-mile visibility. The smoke has stopped that. You can't see that far. 30.04 inches of pressure. And, yeah, out of the southwest at 10. Okay, well, wouldn't have thought that. Sunset tonight at 7:38. And tomorrow, sunrise is at 7:38. So we are at equilibrium right now. In other words, we're exactly 12 hours and 12 hours. Yeah, just here for a few days, and we'll hit this again in the fall. But that's where we are right now, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. Yeah. So, all right, let me change gears and tell you that the seven-day forecast, rain tomorrow, and I'm trying to see what time. So showers after 9 a.m., fog after 11, high only 58 tomorrow. South-southwest wind 9 to 17, gust 31, 80% chance of rain. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tomorrow night, rain showers before 5 a.m. Then a slight chance of rain and snow showers. Wow, low of around 30. West-southwest wind 5 to 10, becoming north in the evening. Chance of precip is 80%. Little or no snow accumulation is expected. On Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 51. Northwest wind around 11 miles per hour with gust as high as 20 miles per hour. And and then on Saturday night, partly cloudy, low around 22. Ooh. And the problem is the wind's going to be out of the north-northwest, gust 18. It's going to be cold, especially, 22. That's a hard freeze for here this late, you know. Sunday, 47, good as it gets, 23 Sunday night, 49 Monday. That's the high. 26 Tuesday, 49 Monday, 26 Monday night, 54 Tuesday. You know, I need to refresh that because that's not agreeing with the forecast that I saw the guys had earlier. They said it wasn't going to be, huh. Well, I will say this. We're still cold at night next week, but they have taken the rain out, and that's a plus. We're at the wilds, and so that's always a plus. 50s and 60s, it looks like, for the week, and they've moved all the rain away, but we're still cold at night. That's the chilly part. All right. Listener's portion of the operating budget day being sponsored by Midway Bible Baptist Church in memory of Preacher Ray Aiken and his wife, Miss Jean, and we want to say thank you to Midway, and appreciate the memory of Brother Ray and Miss Jean Aiken. Network today, sponsored by Rich and Melinda Worley, honor their grandchildren, Torin Royal Galloway, fourth birthday's tomorrow. They pray that he comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age. We appreciate the Worleys, friends for a long time. We appreciate them. Thank them for standing with us here today at Anchor Broadcasting. Martha Rice is having a birthday today, also Margaret Camp. And I believe I'm telling it right. They're twin sisters and having a birthday. Yeah. And so congratulations to them. Excuse me. And let me see here. Let me move over here. Let's get to the roll call right quick. Ann Arbor, Birmingham, Brandon, Brevard, Castroville. That's a new one. Castroville, California. Charlotte, Cupertino, California, Dayton, El Monte, California, Fairbanks, Fort Mill, Greensboro, Greenville, Greer, Hendersonville, Houston, Indianapolis, Lancaster, Manchester, Marion, Morganton, Morrisville, Nassau, Newark, North Attleboro, Plymouth, Rock Hill, Sacramento, Scottsdale, Toledo, Europe, United Kingdom, Unknowns, Weaverville, West Berlin, and Winnipeg. Glad to have all of you with us here this afternoon. Well, I'm looking at this as still an unbelief. I'm still amazed. Here it is. We're getting ready to close out the second week following Share-a-thon, and we still have people minding the Lord. And I would say it's never too late to mind the Lord. And I believe that. It's never too late. Mind the Lord. And that's exactly what folks are doing. We appreciate the continued confidence of folks. Our thanks to Carl and Juanita Phillips of Brevard, a $400 contribution. Thank you so much. And by the grace of God, folks, that takes us over another level. Can you believe it? To God be the glory. This is, with this pledge, $388,016. To God be the glory. It's been worth everything that we faced in His dear name. It'll be worth it all when we see His face. Wow. And so today our totals stand at $388,016. And on the general and the network, $155,864. That is just amazing. And again, I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless His holy name. As I put my initials on the card that I've read it. Hallelujah. I'm just blessed, I'm telling you. 4412, good to hear from you. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton and Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you. Smokey and Fletcher, 07-4242 is sharing that with me. A fire on Sargus Road burnt 3 acres, said it's contained. Okay. Sargus Road? Okay, thank you for that. Where's all the smoke coming from in Asheville and Fletcher? I think it's coming out of South Carolina. It's coming through here anyway. You can smell it here. It's pretty strong. And I checked on it. And there are, like I say, a couple of brush fires that people are burning. People are burning brush. They're controlled. But apparently there is a controlled fire. And I don't know if it's in like Table Rock State Park or if it's in some other part of the forests down along the southern slope of the Eastern Continental Divide. But that's what I'm told. It seems to be coming from that direction. That's what I'm hearing. The wind's kind of coming out of North Georgia, but I guess it can pull it this way. I guess it depends on how far up the ridge it is, really. Depends on where they're burning. I don't know. So, but they say that's what it is. And, Somebody's asking me a question. 0770 says, have you heard of the book that is in our schools called Gender Queer? And the answer is no. We used to get in trouble for using that word. And now it's the name of a book in a library. Really? Well, it's another one of the big lies, folks. The big lies. I want you to understand that 20 years ago, just 20 years ago, well, I mean, let me back that up. Let's go 25 years ago. In the late 90s, the American Psychiatric Association listed gender confusion as a psychological defect. It was considered a psychological issue and was treated as such. And they didn't treat it with surgery on the physical part of the body. They treated it with counseling and other things because it was a, just as, there's a whole bunch of psychological issues we could talk about, but it was listed as a psychological condition for which psychiatrists treated people who were not happy with their gender. But I've got news for you. God made man and woman. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And that makes some people very mad. Well, it doesn't matter whether it makes you mad or not. You know, facts are stubborn things, Ronald Reagan said. And so, you know, it's just the fact. And there are some things that man cannot reverse as hard as they try. And again, that makes people mad. But when you say that, but it's still the truth, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, it's still the truth, okay? As a matter of fact, a group of psychiatrists have recently come out against what's going on and all this gender reassignment. Because what it's doing is it's creating a sterile generation. Because when you start messing with the reproductive system and trying to switch genders, it is leaving people permanently scarred, permanently marred, and permanently neutered. And it does not matter what anybody tells you or what anybody says. There is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, the AAPS. I said it was psychiatrists. It's not. It's Association of American Physicians and Surgeons is warning about unknown and unknowable long-term risks. These are, as I'm quoting, it says, are inherent to gender-affirming care in minors, adding that the consequences of gender transition surgery are irreversible. Gender-affirming procedures, including so-called puberty blockers, sex hormones, and surgery, and I won't go into what the surgeries are. This nonprofit professional association noted in its February 20th this year official statement outlining its stance on gender-affirming care for children. The AAPS warns that gender transition procedures are generally irreversible and have a high probability of causing sterilization. The procedures also commit a patient to a lifelong need for medical, surgical, and psychological care. Such procedures in minors are also medically and ethically contradicted due to a lack of informed consent, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons states. Physicians and medical professionals should refuse to be mandated or coerced to participate in procedures to which they have ethical or scientific objections or which they believe would harm a patient. Founded in 1943, the organization represents doctors in all specialties nationwide and seeks to preserve the practice of private medicine. Over the years, the group has been a strong proponent of patient autonomy and freedom of discourse in medicine. They go on to make this statement, and I want you to listen to what's being said. And I don't even like talking about this, but you got to. The association maintains that while medical, surgical, and other methods can be used to alter the physical appearance of a person's body, they cannot change a person's biological sex. Biological sex is determined at conception by genotype, and with the exception of rare circumstances that could result in ambiguous genitalia, biological sex is indeed obvious and is correctly identified at birth. According to the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, biological sex or genotype then determines the role of a person in reproduction. Reproduction requires a male gamete, which can only be produced by a person of an XY genotype, and a female gamete, which can only be produced by a person of an XX genotype, the group states. Primordial germ cells are present at birth. In recent months, some states have attempted to curtail or outlaw gender-related procedures for minors, while others are seeking to ensure access to gender-altering hormones and surgeries. The governor of Mississippi said on February the 21st that he will sign a ban on gender-affirming care that's been approved by the state lawmakers, joining governors in Utah, South Dakota, and meanwhile, judges have temporarily blocked similar laws in Arkansas and Alabama. So, and there's more. I could go on, and I can go into a lot more medical, a lot more if you want to talk about biology, we want to dig deeper into the biology of the subject. There is no question. You are born either XY or you're born XX. And that's the way it is. And nothing that doctors can do can ever change that fact. They may change appearance, but they cannot change that fact. And I personally don't believe that an 18-year-old knows enough about it to make that decision. Because, you see, the consequence portion of the brain, the frontal lobe of the brain, does not completely develop. The average age is around 27 when the frontal lobe of the brain develops. Why do you think we run 18-year-olds over heels and with M4s and tell them to overcome a 50-cal machine gun in a bunker? Why do you think we send 18-year-olds? Because they're old enough to know better, but they're too young to care, is the old statement. You see, that care part, the consequent parts, it doesn't come until the late 20s. And for some, it never comes, apparently. But my point is, just because someone's 18, but to take children under that, my soul in the morning, folks. who in the world, would take the word of a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old or even a 15-year-old? 15-year-olds are so fickle and they're so impressionable. If their best friend does it, then they're going to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. So, let me ask you this. Just because a 6-year-old wants to get a dragon tattooed on their forehead, should we let them? It's permanent? Well, let me tell you this. A dragon tattooed on your forehead is nothing near as bad as neutering a 6-year-old and guaranteeing that they will never have offspring of their own making. They will never have offspring. And that's what we're doing. And I believe part of the reason that the liberals love it so much is for population control. I think they're trying to rule out, So I think they're trying to, I really do. I think they're trying. I think that's why they like it. I think it's why they like homosexuality. It reduces teen pregnancy, they say, and unwanted pregnancies, and it controls the population explosion. So that's why they like it. Yeah. Someone is sharing with me, said the United States Forest Service has been burning a lot lately. Thank you. Appreciate that. What do you think about the banks closing? We talked about it yesterday at length. And, there is reason now to believe that they're going to have another rate increase next week. And I'm just going to tell you, to bail out the banks, to bail out the uninsured, to simply turn the presses on and print cash to give out to everybody that lost money in the failed banks, now there's three, that's inflationary at its core because you're increasing the money supply. And then to try to curb inflation by tightening the money supply on everybody else, and then to try to, it shows either a lack of understanding or a very sinister plot to destroy the institutions that we're familiar with. I'm just saying. Okay, so here's the thing. They're printing money. So in other words, this is what they're going to do. For all this money that the FDIC is out, the Federal Reserve said, okay, we're going to open up liquidity and we're going to print you some money to pay for it with, for all of these billions that are uninsured. Well, here's the problem. They begin burning money. The United States Treasury, at the order of the Federal Reserve, began contracting the money supply in December. The money supply, the amount of money in, out available, they took away 1.05% of all the dollars in America. They reduced it by 1%. So, well, that's not much. It is when you're talking trillions. And then again, in January, they decreased the amount of money that's flowing. It's called quantitative easing when they're putting money in. What's it called when they're taking it out? It's quantitative contraction, but it's taking money out of the supply. They took out 1.73% in January. In other words, they've already taken out 2.78%. Almost 3% of the money in America is no longer. They shredded it. But if you go back and look at the Federal Reserve at their balance sheet, okay, the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve has contracted for 4 straight months. And so the most recent number, so we knew that it was a 1% in December. They shredded 1.3% of the cash in January. But in February, a shocking 5.5% decrease in the total amount of money that's out. Yeah. Add that back to what the other two were. Now we're talking over 8% of the money is gone. Gone. 8% of the money is gone. It no longer exists. And the banks can only get what the Federal Reserve is offering. And so they are actually taking away the money and not putting it back. The Federal Reserve has shrank the amount of cash that's floating in the American economy. It's now less than $8.39 trillion. Now, I will say this. $8.39 trillion is over double what it was under Donald Trump. Over double. It was somewhere around the $4 trillion mark. That's all the money there was. And somebody said, well, that's bad, right? If there's not much money, that's bad. Well, it's good in that it's worth something. See what I'm saying? Let's come up with an illustration. Okay? Let's come up with an illustration. Let's use a Monte Carlo car. Okay, so I've got a Monte Carlo car, a mid-2000 Monte Carlo car. And I want to put that car in a garage, and I want that car to be worth something one of these days. Well, if you keep it long enough, yeah, it might be worth something. The problem is that car was so mass-produced. It was one of the most popular cars that Chevrolet sold. I'm talking about the little front-wheel drive Monte Carlo. It's one of the most popular cars they sold. And because there's so many of them, the value drops. And keeping it as a collector is not really a good idea. On the other hand, Corvettes, they're limited to how many they can make each year. Did you know that most Chevrolet dealerships can't even get a Corvette? And that getting Corvettes is based on your sales of your dealership? That's why Corvettes are worth so much. because they're limited the number that they make. Suburbans have done the same thing. Do you realize that a new Escalade is now $100,000? Cadillac Escalade, which is the same thing as a GMC Denali XL, same thing as a Chevrolet Suburban, same vehicle. But did you realize that they're now $100,000? Because they're limited production. Take you months to get one. If you ordered it today, take you months to get it. Did you know that people were ordering new diesel, Duramax diesel Suburbans? They were ordering them from the dealership, putting them on eBay, and making $20,000 on them because they were limited production. I saw them on eBay for $120,000 for a new one that they paid $100 for. But because you couldn't get them, the people were buying them and putting them immediately on eBay for $120,000 for a diesel Suburban. And apparently they were selling them because they were limited production. You understand now what I'm talking about with the money? When $4 trillion was the liquidity, that's all we had in the market, then that meant that every dollar that you had was worth a little. But when they doubled the amount of money that was flowing and just turned the press on and let it run, guess what? We now have $8 trillion running around. And guess what else? It's worth about half what it was under the previous administration. Think about it. Think about everything that you buy. Think about everything that's going on. About double, right? Go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. $10. Used to be $5. Now it's $10. And that's not the only thing. It's everything that you look at. A $50,000 truck is now a $100,000 truck. And it just keeps going. And here's the point. So they're tightening, they're trying to get this money back. So they're shredding money, they're shrinking the size of the liquidity, of the cash in America. But on the other hand, with the left hand, they're taking money in and shredding it and decreasing by 8% the amount of cash since December. But on the other hand, they're printing billions of dollars to bail out the banks. How many think that's a raw deal? It doesn't make sense, my friend. Okay? Yeah. So, and Karen says, my mom used to say, the truth will stand when the world's on fire. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if you want to know more about the thoughts about last night, the last night's drive time is on the website. If you want to go back and listen to it, I won't take time to go into much detail. 1817. Thank you, Pastor Barton. Agree 1,000%. This gender stuff, thank you for sharing. 5371, they privatize the profits and socialize the losses. That is exactly what I'm trying to say. Couldn't have said it better. And, and people should not be forced to accept, I like these words, perversity and lunacy. I'm not going to. So, well, they'll lock you up. Well, I'm just telling you, not going to. And just not going to. And here's the thing about it, guys. If enough of us stand, enough of us stick together, they can't lock up everybody. They'll run out of places to lock us up eventually. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, you know, if everybody will lock arms, you know, you know. But you let somebody give on it, let somebody, you know, get squeamish, and then everybody's in jeopardy. But you see, my Constitution protects my deeply held religious beliefs, my sincerely held religious beliefs. My Constitution protects those. Sure does. First Amendment. Therefore, you need to practice the words. I have a sincerely held religious conviction against that mess. And when somebody approaches you and says, you will call them this, or you will do that, or you'll do the other, or you'll lose your job, you need to say, I have a sincerely held, I have a conviction, I have a sincerely held religious belief that prohibits me from endorsing sodomy in any form. And somebody said, well, you'll lose your job. Well, like what one old boy said, he said, well, I was looking for one when I found this one. But here's the point. Once they fire you, now you have a case because your sincerely held religious beliefs have been violated. And now you have a case as far as religious discrimination that you were discriminated against because. And let me just say something to you very quickly. They would never expect a Muslim to do all this gender mess because the Islamic faith prohibits it. And if they try to force a Muslim into this junk, the Muslim will own the place because they have violated his sincerely held religious convictions. The problem is Christians don't have any sincerely held convictions. We just have preferences that move around based on convenience. But if you have sincerely held religious convictions, you have as much protection as a Muslim, or anyone else for that matter, any other faith for that matter. But for some reason right now, Muslims are on the favored list, and the government's scared to death of a Muslim and their sincerely held religious belief. You have to turn them loose on their breaks so they can go out and pray toward Mecca. And you have to accommodate them on religious holidays and everything else. You have to. A big deal about it. And yet God's people that have the truth are being run over. And I, for one, am tired of it. And somebody said, preacher, are you threatening lawsuits? No, there's no threat to it. There's no threat. Once things have played out and once it's solid, there are attorneys all over America that will take it, the case, on a contingency that if they don't win, that you don't owe them a dime. Oh, yeah. They'll defend your religious liberties for $0. Oh, yes, they will. So no threats about it. It's just a matter of, you know, you got to hold your guns. And then you got to let them fire you over it. And you told them it was religious conviction. And they fired you anyway. It's at that point that you now have a liable case. Yep. Somebody said, I'd rather lose my job than miss heaven. Amen. Or your rewards in heaven. Yeah. So, absolutely. Well, you're right, my brother. You're right. And so, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on this afternoon. Thank God for his mercy. And thank God for everything that that he's done for us. And, you know, there's still a little sanity in the world when you think everything's gone crazy. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Matter of fact, and I don't say this. I feel like we ought to be careful saying this. I hope you'll take it the right way. I think the totals that I read at the beginning of the program prove that we're not just a little handful of nuts over here on the sidelines. In other words, there's a whole lot more people believe what I'm talking about than disbelieve it. And they got us running scared. It's time to turn and stand. Okay? Time to turn and stand. James Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Covenant with him, didn't he? So God changes not. And by the way, probably the most rebellious thing that a human being could say would be to look into heaven and say, God, you got it wrong. You messed up my gender. God, you made a mistake. And you say, preacher, they would never say that. It's exactly what they're saying. That is exactly what they're saying. God, you made a mistake, and I'm going to fix your mistake. You know what the Lord said about that? The Lord said about that crowd. You know what he said about that? He had something to say about it. The Lord already addressed this. A lot of people don't understand. Some might think this is new. This is not new. God's already addressed this. And he addressed it some time ago. And this is what he said. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 1. Look it up. God's already dealt with this thing. Verse 18 through the end of chapter 1. Look it up. God's already said, this is a symptom. This is a symptom of God turning us over to a reprobate mind. And that's exactly what's happened. May God help. May God help the warped minds in this nation. And may the Word of God prevail. And may the truth of God triumph above all of this woke theology, if you could dare call it that. God help us. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please, Lord, I pray for those dear children that made uninformed decisions, uninformed consent, and parents went through with it, and now they will never be able to father or mother biological children all their lives. And this fad of ungodliness that's rolling through our nation will affect, if you don't come, it will affect a generation for the next 70 to 80 years. We'll live with what's going on right now. It'll be in our rest homes in the year 2021. If you don't come, in the year 2021, we'll be dealing with the effects. The 2100, Lord, we'll be dealing with the effects of this mess right now. So, God, I pray that you would get a hold of some hearts. You'd shake some people into understanding. And may the people of God plant our feet squarely and say, we will not be moved. We have sincerely held religious beliefs that prohibit us from going along with the crowd. Help us, Lord, to dare to be a Daniel, to stand up and to stand out and to make a difference for the glory of God. For we ask it and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Until we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.